Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow, to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at deloitte.com/us/engineeringadvantage.
Support for Pivot comes from ServiceNow. By now, you've probably heard about AI. You might even be sick of hearing about it. But despite all the hype, it's not always clear how AI can help your business. ServiceNow has some ideas. With their intelligent platform, they can put AI to work across your company, improving customer experiences, helping non-coders code, accelerating your IT team's productivity, and resolving HR cases faster. So work can actually work better for everyone. So stop the hype and start putting AI to work. Go to servicenow.com/genAI to see why the world works with ServiceNow.
Hi, everyone. This is Pivot from New York Magazine and the Vox Media Podcast Network. I'm Kara Swisher.
And Kara, when day comes, we ask ourselves where we can find light in this never-ending shade. The loss we carry a sea, we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. President 2048. Yeah. 48, Amanda Gorman.
I love your dramatic reading of her beautiful words. That's
just, did I just totally bastardize
yes,
it?
Did you listen to her reading it? Reading it was also an important part of it. You know, Anderson Cooper tried this last night, your boyfriend, Anderson Cooper.
Ooh, me and Ando. I'm going on with Ando tonight.
I know. Well, he was reciting her to her, which was my favorite part. He did a little better than you, I'll be honest with you. Whoa. I love a white guy reading
Kara, it's always, I like to think of it as not a white guy appropriating other people's intellectual property. I like to think of it as shavings of shit on a beautiful salad.
Listen, she was amazing. She was a star. She was a star. It was a very good inauguration. What did you think? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I thought in general, the show was good.
Well, I was saying I cry every 4 years just for different reasons. I found it very moving, very emotional. I think all of us have this kind of catharsis. You know, they say when people
return.
Well,
not all of us. Some of us are unhappy. Like there's half the country's unhappy.
Let the dog run. Let the hound run.
Okay, go ahead.
When soldiers come back, supposedly when they touch American soil, they get very emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us had unexpected emotion yesterday and what I would call like a 24-hour exhale. But what struck me distinct of the inspiration and the hopefulness is that the bottom line is an inauguration took place in a militarized green zone.
Yeah.
We are not in a good place. And if you had not known what was going on and you had gone to sleep 4 years and a month ago and woke up and you saw that inauguration, you would think, are we in a nuclear war? You would not understand what was going on.
They managed to cover it up pretty well. Like in
a lot of imagery,
a
lot of flags, a lot of military.
A lot of those flags were a genius move. Yeah. I think they did a lot with the military in terms of whether they're the trumpet corps or whatever, and Tom Hanks, and they used the memorials rather well. I think if Donald Trump had done it, people would have been angry. But there was Biden right at the memorial. Kamala Harris was there watching the fireworks. Katy Perry was singing, Bruce Springsteen. It was really interesting. It was a nice piece of, I hate to say it, propaganda. It was a nice piece of propaganda.
Imagery is important.
Imagery. And I think they did the lovely thing with the fireworks, and they did cover up what was essentially a militarized.
You did a good job. I'll tell you, if I could get in anyone's head, I'd like to see the master class called Mixed Emotions that it is Vice President Pence at that thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
he did a good
job.
He was good. He was dignified. He walked down. He did his job.
He comes out of this a winner. He comes out of this a winner.
McConnell was sitting there. They put Cruz way in the corner. Ted Cruz, he was way in a corner.
I
thought it was nice to see all the presidents. It was nice.
Why would he show up for something he doesn't want to certify and he thinks is illegitimate?
I don't know. He's going off on Twitter now these days about everything. He's such a dope. Anyway, let's get a little more banter. Apple's reportedly in talks to start a subscription podcast service to compete with Spotify. Hmm. Is it too late for Apple? I know everything is what does it mean to us.
Excellent.
But they're in there too. I mean, this was going to happen, correct?
Yeah, and they're a player overnight because when you own the rails, when
that's another issue.
Two-thirds of all income flowing through apps, let me back up. The gangster move across media platforms has been pretty straightforward, and that is launching original content. Mm-hmm. Netflix stock went on a tear from the moment they dropped Netflix full season. That was the innovation, dropped a full season.
Yes.
Joe Rogan did a terrible deal. He has added billions in shareholder value since agreeing to do a deal with Spotify.
Spotify
is going vertical because they realize that the music industry has smart people representing them. They have their own oligopoly, and they starch most of the margin, so it's very difficult to make money off of streaming music platforms. You need to launch your own original content. And Apple needs to go vertical, and they've launched their own content in the form of Apple TV Plus, and now they're coming for podcasts. And heads, they win if they can establish a stable of vertical content and then drive a ton of people. The only reason I watch The Morning Show is because it was from Apple TV Plus.
They've got some interesting things coming, actually, some shows I was noticing.
But I turn on my phone and I see, you know, it's three clicks. I've done this.
Right.
It's three clicks to Apple TV Plus. It's 17 clicks to get to Bridgerton, right? Because when you own the rails, you have certain advantages. So they will, if they can just come up with B-plus talent, right?
Yeah.
So if they were to do Me Without You, even they could make me you, right?
Is that the plan?
Ooh, perhaps I should not have said that.
Tell
Tim I'm busy.
You
I'll
cannot
call him
quit
back.
Me. You cannot quit me, as they say. I hope I don't end up like
But even
Heath
even if they don't establish, tells them when too.
Okay
even if they don't establish their own
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Their own vertical content. Do you realize across every streaming platform, from Disney Plus to Hulu to Peacock, Apple gets between 3 and 12% of their total revenues by being the toll keeper for the App Store.
Yep.
So this was
and
a matter of
some
time.
Issues. We're going to get into this in a second, but I think they got to be careful as they tread into this area because of antitrust issues, because they're already at war with Spotify over music. So the other thing that was interesting, we're going to get into the Biden administration in a second, was Trump's last minute flurry. Remember him, Trump? Who dis, new president?
Yep.
He pardoned ex-Google engineer Anthony Lewandowski, who was convicted of stealing trade secrets from Google when he moved to Uber. It was supported by bigwigs in Silicon Valley, a lot of VCs, but Peter Thiel at the head of the line.
That's a weird one. So that was Thiel?
Yeah, that was. Of course it was Thiel, yeah.
Well, it's nice to know that we have billionaires who can not only put media companies out of business, but now can exonerate people from any scrutiny of the law.
Yeah, that was a big case. That was a big case. That's going to piss off Google. That was a big case. You know, he was a complex figure, let's just say.
Oh,
but
right.
That was
I don't
that
know.
Sort of
can
the
you,
era
for,
of
for
Travis
the fans,
Kal-
can you give us just a
well,
cliff notes
in
on
this
what happened
era
there?
Of Travis Kalanick when Travis was
oh, he's the guy that left with self-driving technology?
Yes, he left with self-driving and whether he took it on this, and I don't even remember. We had reporters on it all the time, and it was really a significant the trade secrets case.
Oh, wait. He's the guy that stuck a thumb drive up his ass, went to China and then Russia, and now everyone says he's a hero. Oh, wait, no, that's Edward Snowden.
He didn't get a pardon. He didn't get. I would have given
you
one to him over
pardon.
Anthony Lewandowski.
Perdóname, son Eduardo Snowden.
He did not. He gets to stay in Russia for the rest of his life. Trump was his ticket out. But, you know, I don't think he was going to get one. There was way too much pushback from the intelligence services. But
I didn't even know that was on the table.
Yeah. Him and Julian Assange, all those characters from that whole era. But it was Lewandowski that got it.
What about Julian Assange's cat?
No.
That is an innocent victim.
Steve Bannon. That's who got the pardon. I know. And then Jeanine Pirro's husband, Albert, her ex-husband.
She has a husband?
Yes.
Wow. I did not know that.
You know what? They're all gone.
We're at this point, we're sort of like, fine.
We don't, who?
Fine.
Kaylee, like, who the fuck?
The way I felt about all of it was, I'm in the midst of raising money for my startup section 4. And I've worked with the same venture capitalist for a decade now, but when I used to raise money, towards the end, they and their lawyers would just wear you down. And you would just be like, okay, you can have a pref of 7%, not 6%. They would literally just wear you down.
That's how I look at our relationship, but go ahead.
Don't say that. You don't mean that. I put spring in your step.
In any case,
I am a blooming bougainvillea across the home that is your life.
We have to get to the big story. They are gone, Scott. You're going to have to leave. Let's have a moment and leave. Let's smudge them out.
You need to be more delicate with my emotions. I am very emotional. I am very emotional.
Scott works out before these podcasts, which is really a problem because he gets all testosterone all over the place. That's a verb, by the way. Listen, we're going to get to the big story.
I am not a podcaster broken, but unfinished. Oh, hello, Amanda Gorman, my new role model.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this leads us to the big story. Amanda Gorman was fantastic, but yes. We did it, Scott. We have a new president. This week, Joe Biden was sworn in as 46th president of the United States. We just discussed that. Kamala Harris will be the first woman to be vice president and the first woman of color to be vice president.
Madam Vice President. That has a nice ring to it.
Madam Vice President. She looked great. Everybody looked great.
Looked
fit. I think it's
insulting that you would reduce the... Would you have said that about Joe Biden? Yeah, you would.
He looked great too. Yeah, looked good. I thought everybody looked like all the ex-presidents looked good. Yeah, thought it was like a nice, clean group of people. I don't know what to say.
No, Biden looks 70.
I kept thinking they're clean and well-dressed, and I'm happy to see them.
Biden looks 76 again. I was thinking Bill Clinton. I think the mask, given what Bill Clinton's going through, the mask is perfect because it's sort of like, there's Bill. We generally have good feelings about him.
Generally,
but we
don't
want to see the contour of his face and his emotion and think about him anymore. The mask works for Bill Clinton.
Did you
for
like
Hillary?
The three presidents talking to each other? That was nice at the memorial.
I thought it was wonderful. You know what?
George Bush is funny.
I saw Madam Secretary Clinton taking photo. I think every time I see Madam Secretary Clinton in an unscripted moment, I actually like her more and more.
I like Hillary Clinton. I do not like her husband, but that's okay. You don't have to like everybody.
What a shocker. What a shocker. You don't like her husband.
Well, I'm sorry. He got away with a lot. Nonetheless.
Did a lot for America, Kara.
Did a lot
for America.
Yeah. Not
last president to get in the way of genocide in the Balkans. I'll remember that.
Okay. Look, you know what? There's a lot of things I don't like about him. I'm not going to go into it. And anyway, let's focus on Joe Biden. Joe is our president.
46.
Grandpa's our gramp and uncle or whatever 46. You want to look at him. 46. What do you think of the takeaways? He did all those executive orders, one of which was the first of which was around COVID. Obviously, he's really getting to work. His press secretary, Jenner, I think it's... Saki, was like, I'm not here to yell and scream at you and flounce from the room, which was nice. You're not an enemy of the people anymore. But what was interesting is a lot of the stuff around COVID. And Amazon, as we have talked about, reached out to President Biden immediately offering to help with COVID-19 vaccine distribution. Amazon executive Dave Clark said in a letter, Amazon stands ready to leverage its operations, information technology, communications capabilities, and expertise to assist your administration's vaccination efforts. It's interesting that they hadn't before this. And why did they wait? For example, they also want to get vaccines for their own people because they've got 800,000 people, a lot of them frontline workers. So what do you think? What do you think?
Well, you know, you hear about these stories that when people are diagnosed with cancer and the surgeons go in to remove it and they open someone up and they find that it's everywhere and they just close them up.
Yeah,
that's the process we're undergoing right now. The Trump administration, we're doing an autopsy on his administration, and we're going to find that there was just cancer everywhere. And one of those cancers an immigrant who went on to lead the most valuable company in the world, Microsoft, a man who was raised in the South as a gay man, a man who owns the Washington Post, and I think sees himself
that was
as
Tim
a,
Cook you're talking is, about, but go ahead
is a progressive. They had no desire to assist in the lies and the disability and the disease that the previous administration was fueling with incompetence and propaganda. And that really hurt us. Nobody wanted to work with this guy. No one wanted to say, all right.
Yeah, they didn't know. Remember that meeting where he had the Walmart people? They just didn't want to work with him. And nothing ever
happened. He's not interested in actually saving lives. He just wants to get in between us and the camera and vampire off our credibility and our star power.
Yeah.
And so it's no surprise that the moment he's out, you're going to see a plethora.
Agreed.
I'm on the board of a company and we're talking about, and I'm forgive the virtue signaling, we're talking about figuring out how ways we can send supplies or just food and sandwiches to vaccination centers. I think everybody, and this is the opportunity, everybody is thinking, how can we work
with
competent people who share our values to try and destroy this virus. But I still, again, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. You know what would have saved 100 or 200,000 lives?
Amazon.
Well, doing this. Not so much Amazon, but if Amazon, Google, Apple, and more generally the NASDAQ had had declined 50% as opposed to accelerated 50%, and the people who control our government, the people, the shareholder class, if their wealth had been cut in half and they had felt a fraction of the pain of people
that
of color. And
Stephanie Rule-like point. That is an excellent point.
This is, unfortunately, our incentives are not aligned. And if you are wealthy, and this is a dirty secret and the ugly secret of the pandemic, you are living your best life. And so we have not had a full-throated capitalist response. We have, the virus has not seen what America is capable of.
Yeah.
And, you know, within 10 days of World War II breaking out, Chrysler converted a factory to building tanks, and they were punching out tanks in 15 days, and that one factory produced more tanks than the entire Third Reich. And we haven't had that kind of mobilization effort because people don't
What do you think of Amazon getting in here? It also makes me a little nervous. I'm like, oh, what are they going to get out of it? Like, you know what I mean? Knowing
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I think they're, I know a lot of people, well, I'm not a fan, you know, I'm not a fan of Amazon, and I think Jeff Bezos doesn't reflect the blessings he's registered in terms of his own code. But I know a lot of people at Amazon. It's generally speaking, as are most of these firms, a group of very bright people that want to do the right thing, that are blessed with $1 trillion in market capitalization and the best supply chain infrastructure in the world. Let's put that bitch to work. Let's put that motherfucking supply chain to work.
I'm so glad, for example, that Trump doesn't have his Twitter because he'd complain about this. Like Jeff Bezos did nothing. Now you'll see COVID going away. And I'm like, you'll see COVID going away because competent people are running the show, actually. And it's not going to go away. It's a long haul. You know, it's going to be difficult to get. I'll be interested because they didn't have much insight because the Trump administration didn't let them do transition efforts very well. What they find inside, when they open the drawers and be like, oh, look at this mess.
Yeah, this is awful. Look at the cancer. But back to nationalizing the supply chain or enlisting it in our efforts here. There is a Walmart within 10 and a half miles on average of every American citizen.
Yep.
The average hospital is 11 miles. Yep. They own, essentially, their parking lots are like combined the size of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
You're going to see Doug McMillon working with competent people at the Biden administration. This is just a projection. I don't have any inside information here. Launch remote pop-up. Instead of click and collect, they're going to have click and vaccinate.
Yeah.
Apple and Google could easily figure out an app strategy that scores
They did, though. The thing is, Apple and Google, remember they were working on the app thing. Walmart was at one of the first press conferences. It was all bullshit is the
all
issue.
Bullshit.
Nothing ever happened. So they had the inclination to do that. Like Jared Kushner called people and made them show up at the White House without masks, by the way, if you recall that. I remember that. I was like, why aren't you wearing masks? What's going on? So it will be interesting to see how much corporate America does move in that direction. He now, you know, and that the Twitter noise is down. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like it's governing time, not this loud, constant rondelay with the press and anger and statements and bullshit. It will take a lot of pressure off of everybody, I think, including politicians. But critics of big tech are concerned about Biden nominees to head up the antitrust division of the Department of Justice. There is an ongoing case about Google, and there have been others looked at. Renata Hess, who defended Google a decade ago and helped shepherd through Amazon Whole Foods merger, is leading contender for assistant attorney general position. That is worrisome. I have said this several times, and people have slapped back at me. I'm like, these people are not enemies of tech in the Biden administration. They're quite centrist. So where's Elizabeth Warren when we need her kind of thing?
We have racked up during the Trump administration $7 trillion in additional debt, just another $4 to $5 trillion in the last 12 months. And at some point, we have to think about managing our house responsibly. Countries fail. Civilizations decline, not because they're invaded, but because they go broke. And we are on a path at some point, maybe not in our lifetime, but at a minimum, our children's lifetime of going broke. And one of the things we need to do, we need to have, in my view, and this is the first time I've ever actually come to this side of it, we need a one-time wealth tax. We are quick to do one-time extraordinary bailouts when something exogenous happens, but we've seen the mother of all exogenous events, and that is billionaires massively increase their wealth, absolutely explode it. We need to do away with capital gains tax, and the most oxygenating revenue increasing thing we could do would be to overfund the IRS, the DOJ, and the FTC. The concentration of power here has been like putting a boot on the windpipe of the American economy.
Agreed. We talked about this, but look who they're putting in. Look who they're putting in.
Oh, I think it's going to happen. I mean, you know these guys better than I do, but quite frankly,
I know them. I think they're centrist. I think Kamala Harris is in the center of this. I don't think she's
centrist. You say centrist like it's a bad thing. We need more of that.
I understand that, but this is a group of people that have to stick with our friends of tech. They are a little too close to tech, and there's a lot of tech people invading the government at this point. And I think you have to like stick with the plan that the Trump administration started around these cases.
I think they're going to. I think the breakup, the oxygenation of our economy has moved from the far left to the center. I think it's a centrist view now. We've been talking about this. This isn't true of Mark Zuckerberg, but I think Sundar Pichai is probably like, for God's sake, just get it over with so I can get back to planning products.
Right, absolutely. But I think that it's not, especially around Facebook and some others, and Amazon. Like Amazon's helping the government do the vaccine thing and then needs to be looked at around the marketplace. And so it'll be interesting to see who gets power here. I'm going to wait and see. I'll do a wait and see. But a lot of it looks like same old with the Obama administration. And honestly, the Obama administration, blew this issue badly. You know what I mean? And I don't blame Joe Biden for this. I think it's Obama was in charge and his people, but there's a lot of Obama people there. And I think they're like, look, we have enough to point to that we have to deal with. And so we're not going to go after big tech in the way they need to.
I don't know. What's the most underreported motion against big tech is the Texas AG going after Google and Facebook for cartel pricing. And the reason why that is so significant.
Is that the one that needs to go to jail, Texas AG?
First off, the feds should adopt that because the Texas AG is, what's the term, insane and corrupt. But the case is very interesting. And the reason why the case is interesting is around cartel pricing, the remedies can be criminal. And there's nothing like the threat of an orange jumpsuit to get people talking and negotiating.
Jumpsuit. They're helping us to distribute vaccines. They're going to be our best citizens now.
I don't think they're easily fooled, Kara. I think people have really, and maybe I'm just projecting here, I think people have said, okay, it's overdue and it's time. That's my sense. The House Subcommittee on Antitrust did a fantastic job.
David Cicilline,
There have been cases propping up everywhere from different states.
I think they're going to stack right down to nothing. I think this is not their priority. And they've got a lot of other priorities. They do. By the way, was it in all their priorities that they were mentioning? They were talking about the things and the things they're mentioning are critically important. That's the thing: racial justice, climate change, vaccinations, and COVID. I get that this is getting people back to work, back to school. These are much more important issues.
I would have done it better. I would have said our top three priorities are eliminating the novel coronavirus, and eliminate. I would have gone all in on that. Instead, I felt like Bill Clinton's triangulating off of all the key issues from a focus group. But anyways, I appreciate that he incorporated those things. And I think all those things were
important. I like that he added in the Dreamers, the Muslim ban.
That stuff was wonderful. I agree.
That was just like slappity. What was interesting about that event last night, and then we're going to take a break in a second, was how they were slapping Trump quietly without saying his name. There was a lot of slapping. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of little underhanded slappage choices.
The thing that I think
it's a new day.
The thing that defined, in my opinion, was like the icing on the cake or the exclamation on the point on the exclamation here was Vice President Pence's send off. It's like, okay, Donald Trump decides to even abdicate this responsibility.
Yeah. He did a nice job. And that was actually very lovely with the four of them.
I thought so, too.
The couples.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Also, the winner, of course, was, is it Emma Emhoff, the daughter, Ella? Ella Emhoff. Anyway,
with
the one with the
fantastic outfit.
She's fantastic. Oh, she's from Brooklyn. She's so Brooklyn.
She's
the whole thing.
Good.
It's all about her. It was nice.
The new fashion icon. So I'm a little upset.
The coat action was fantastic all over the place.
I'm a little upset you don't buy into my narrative that big tech's been breaking up. And also, by the way, Dorsey's out of a job and Tesla stock is crashing.
All right, you keep going. I'm right about this. I think they're going to
No, you've been more right than me on this.
I am going to keep banging on them on this issue.
You've been more right than me on this.
This needs to happen. And if it doesn't, Caro's going to be angry. Yeah. Anyway, Scott, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about management departures at Fox News and a listener mail question. Mm-hmm.
Support for Pivot comes from the Optimistic Outlook podcast. What can a microgrid on Chicago's South Side teach us about the future of energy? How can we fight to make clean air a basic human right? And why are there almost a million open manufacturing jobs right now? There's only a few people in the world with the expertise, access, and perspective to give real answers to those questions. And Barbara Humpton, the CEO of Siemens USA, is one of them. On her podcast, The Optimistic Outlook, you get a seat at the table with Barbara as she shares the latest insights on breakthroughs in manufacturing technologies that are reshaping our reality. Barbara's guests include thought leaders, industry mavericks, and researchers who all share actionable information and ideas about the technologies that are creating our future. Recent episodes highlight how new technology paired with sustainability efforts has radically changed workplaces across the spectrum, from hospitals and energy plants to transportation systems. Other fascinating topics include sustainable beer brewing, the power of 3D printing, and the incredible potential of self-healing concrete. To learn more, join the dozens and dozens of people who tune into this podcast. Listen to The Optimistic Outlook wherever you consume your podcasts.
This week on The Gray Area, writer Derek Thompson makes his case that everything has become a cult. Well, almost everything.
Is Taylor Swift the closest thing we have to a mass cult today?
No, I think she's the closest thing we have to Christianity. It's
me. Find out if you're in a cult this week on The Gray Area, wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott, we're back. Mm-hmm. As the Trump era ends, let's talk about how Fox News pivots and changes management. This week, Bill Salmon, Fox News Senior Vice President and Managing Editor in Washington, who was assigned on the night of Fox News, called the election for Biden in Arizona particularly. He was very critical to that decision desk, announced his departure, his retirement. Fox also laid off 20 other staffers, including political editor, well-regarded political editor, Chris Steigerwalt, who worked on the, who was a key member of the decision desk. This is the one that called Arizona, that went sent Trump into a crazy and got in the way of his plans to declare victory that night. That's what happened. Like he had a whole plot in place to declare victory and cause all kinds of problems. And things could have been different had Fox not done this. So let's talk about how Fox moves forward in its coverage, because its ratings are down. Its ratings are down quite significantly, actually. And CNN's happened to be up. I don't know if that, none of this will last, I think, but they're down quite a bit. And then I did a disfavor to myself by watching Hannity last night, and he's really doubling down on crazy in terms of all kinds of stuff. Having that Boebert person, whatever, mm-hmm. the one with the gun, I call her murderous Sarah Palin, essentially, on with, who else was on with her? Oh, Matt Gaetz, all those horrible, like, chuckleheads. What are they going to do? What do you do if you're Fox News? They got rid of people who were very significantly fair. So what do you do if you're the Murdochs? And Rupert's entered the picture again because he was worried about how that decision was made.
So I think that more important than the individuals or whoever the fall guys are. So I've always found that Fox is generally crazy, but prone to fits of sanity. I go on yeah. Fox. I like Neil Cavuto. I think that mm-hmm. there's some, I like Chris Wallace. I think there are some outstanding journalists.
Well, Dayside and Nightside are different. Chris Wallace mm-hmm. was very clear was fine yesterday. Did a good job.
Agreed. And the problem is, do they just add a veneer of legitimacy to the crazy? But I think the more significant thing is the following. Linear TV thrives in crisis. The Iraq War mm-hmm. made CNN. Trump has been the four-year gift that keeps on giving to linear TV and the cable bundle. And just as Twain described going bankrupt is happening slowly and then very suddenly, Biden's inauguration, in my opinion, is really mm-hmm. the final death blow to linear TV. Because, and it's not only going to happen to Fox, their ratings are the first to go down because they come across as the most confused. And the crazies on the right, even they feel deflated and kind of, I think a lot of them are horrified. You know, the majority of us are center right or center left. And the center rights that went to Fox and saw what happened 2 weeks ago, I think are legitimately horrified and also exhausted like the rest of us and have mm-hmm. decided I don't need to tune in every day to see.
Yeah, my mom's been watching Netflix.
That's right. She's taking a break, right? I think a lot of people are taking a break, but quite frankly, we like to backfill and say, oh, it's Fox's fault. That's why their ratings are down. You know who's also really going to suffer? MSNBC. Yeah, they're really going to suffer. And these linear TV that benefits from an immediacy, from crisis, the most exciting thing about a Biden-Harris administration is they might be strikingly boring.
Yeah.
We might just have an administration that's not in our face
competent but boring.
We might hear about our president every 2 weeks instead of every 2 hours. And that'll be wonderful for us emotionally. It'll be wonderful for the country. It's going to be awful for linear TV and the cable bundle.
Yeah, you're not like waiting to see what's next.
And you don't want to you're not as obsessed with getting Rachel Maddow's take on the latest outrage today because there is no latest outrage. So the notion.
So what do you do? I want you to be like, you're at Fox, they bring you in and they're like,
They have brought me in. But anyways, I found generally nice and very smart people. But anyways.
All right, whatever.
Okay, look, this is where the whole world is bifurcating into Android and iOS. And this is what's going to happen. Fox is going to double down on the crazy and the masses that are angry because there's money in it. They need to buy pillows. They need to buy investment trading schemes.
That guy's going to be sued. It's going to be called Dominion Systems.
They need to buy remedies for restless leg syndrome. They need to call personal injury attorneys. Mm-hmm. There is a market for that. CNN is going to go iOS and is either going to be acquired by a company like Twitter if Twitter gets its head out of its ass and decides they need to launch their own vertical content instead of chasing Google and Facebook. You're going to have CNN go iOS and go into some sort of pay model. And Fox is going to become the Android free, but we molest your privacy, lie to you. And Tucker Carlson is going to become the leading candidate on the right for president.
Yeah. Right. So, but what do you do if your ratings are going down and you are getting slammed in terms of viewer, you know, being part of the client, either the COVID problem, which I think they had to pay Seth Rich, obviously, on the Seth Rich issue where they had to pay the family for their lies. And, you know, there's going to be more around election fraud, I think. So what do you do? You just go crazier. You go, because I think OWN is going to be in trouble too, all these things, because people can't stand, I don't think they can stand the craziness for most people for that long. So what do you do if you're OWN or Newsmax or whoever?
So I want to be clear. I'm not saying what is the right thing to do. I'm talking purely, which is what I used to do as a consultant. Think about put myself in the shoes of a shareholder. If I'm a shareholder of Fox, if they're just economic animals, which I believe they are, and they're willing to tear the fabric of our society for shareholder value, you just simply put, you just continue to lean into it. Because I think the smaller crazy guys aren't as smart and aren't as legally.
And there's no Trump, really.
Yeah, and they're not. The other crazy guys don't have the resources. They do not have the quality of personnel. And they, quite frankly, don't have the billions of dollars and lawyers to serve as Kevlar. So Parler, I don't want to say Parler is an easy target, but when you go crazier and you don't have the resources and connections and user base of the Fox, you're just more vulnerable. So rumors of Fox's death have been greatly exaggerated, or Fox News' death.
All right, that's an interesting thing.
And it's not good for society, but when CNN goes more truth, look, the truth is boring. Novelty is more interesting. Conspiracy theory is a lot more interesting.
I got to say, CNN's got a clean up sex. Some of their nighttime anchors are just, I'm like, stop it. Like, I'd like to have-
They're the same flavor.
I think you're definitely not, I'm not going to tune in every night. I've noticed my shifting on Twitter. I'm not tuning in all the time. It's an interesting thing. Like, you don't need to worry, essentially. You don't have to see what crazy shit is going on. And I think that's both an addiction and an emotional, like, not a good thing emotionally for people. So I think it'll be interesting to see. I do think that what's interesting about Fox, obviously it's being run by Lachlan Murdoch and now Rupert's back, even though he's 117 years old, is that when he dies, the other kids get control, not Lachlan. So that'll be interesting. It'll be James and his sister, Liz, and their other sister, Prudence, and they have control of the company. And
but one of them is Fox a progressive News. And has publicly said he's horrified. He's horrified at the content.
All of them are.
Is that true?
I think there's going to be a really interesting situation when he dies. That's my
impression.
Yeah,
but people have a tendency to value money over ideology. And when you're talking,
I think they've gotten plenty of money.
My guess is they'll probably end up selling it. I don't think the kids are going to...
Yeah, they'll sell it. They'll sell it off. I'm just saying it's not going to be... This isn't going to go on for too much longer in terms of... I mean, although Rupert Murdoch's mother died at 103 6 or something like that. So really? Who knows? Yeah.
Wow.
We'll see. But that's going to be an interesting moment. I'll tell you that. That's going to be, you know.
But you bring up something that I think it's important, and that is, look, I think MSNBC, you know, I'm a progressive, so I didn't find their content as offensive, but it was a similar spice dish in terms of, let's spend 3 hours tearing down the president and exaggerate. Yeah. It wasn't as bad, but it was bad because the business model is just much better around novelty and exaggeration and inflammation.
Yeah.
And I think this is not only an opportunity for them, but I'm trying to take this opportunity to heart. I've decided I am not going to get back in people's faces much on Twitter. I am not going to respond as aggressively.
Just here.
I'm going to try to be more thoughtful around, say more. I don't understand that point, but say more. First, I'm going to investigate if they're a bot. I find 90% of the people that really say something inflammatory on Twitter or Facebook, actually I don't go on Facebook, are not actually a real person. But I think it's an opportunity for everybody to say, all right, if you think of yourself as being bipartisan and reasonable, then be bipartisan and reasonable.
Oh, Scott, you're going to ruin our show if you go
They he open the patient up and here. There's cancer everywhere.
Cancer everywhere. Listen, speaking of which, moving on, let's take a listener mail question.
You've got.
I can't believe I'm going to be a mailman.
You've got mail.
Hi, Kara and Scott. This is Kristen in Sacramento. We've reached a dangerous point where a large part of the U.S. population ardently believes in conspiracy theories and ignores science, fact, and rational thought. What changes, if any, could be made to our educational system, from kindergarten to university, to teach critical thinking and counter these undemocratic forces?
Thank you, Kristen from Sacramento. That is a very smart question, I have to say. Let me just begin, and then Scott can talk about the educational system. I think these people believe this stuff before. Conspiracy theories have gone on since the beginning of time. What's happened is they're becoming weaponized and amplified through online, and where people usually got news, they're getting a bad information diet. And so they believe it more because of where it's coming over, either through Fox News or OWN or Newsmax and then online. So I think this has already been there forever. And it was not like people didn't believe in the moon landing. They didn't believe in the earth was flat. This is humanity. And unfortunately, it's been given, amplification tools to do so. How to fix it, Scott, I'm going to leave that to you.
Oh, I don't know if I have a silver bullet. I've said, I think Mark Zuckerberg is what you get when you replace civics with computer science. I think civics and more importantly, history and science are really important. And that is, I was helping my son study for a history test. And, I said, okay, who's the European explorer that first saw the Pacific Ocean? And once they saw there was a Pacific Ocean and they had a credible individual that they trusted, they redrew the maps. And that was the new starting point. And we have to, I think, teach our children that throughout history, the most important advances in our society is because we get to a point where there is a new base called truth that is evidence-based and data-based and science-based. And we all come together as a society around a set of values and a set of truths. And if we don't come together around a set of truths and work from that base, we don't have a country. We don't have a society. And I think we've lost fidelity to that. And that is we've let people say, okay, if I deny a truth or I put out a falsehood, if it's out there enough with these amplification algorithms, that eventually it seems less outrageous or less false or more true. And there has to be truth, and there has to be training at a very young age that says the most wonderful things in our society are a function of we continually build on this base of science and data and truth. And at some point,
how do you stop the flood, though? I mean, it really is a flood now, and it is over stuff that used to be delivery of really decent news or news that was not this bad.
Accountability. We can't have unity unless we have accountability. Otherwise, we're not unifying around anything that's real. It's squishing and it's amorphous. And one of the things we need to unify around is that there is a truth. And when a senator refuses to certify a legitimate election, When the CEO of Twitter refuses to do away with a Trump account for 449 of 416 days of his tenure and then finds out within 48 hours, or we find out within 48 hours of eliminating that account, 72% of the misinformation goes away, and they clearly knew that, we need to hold these people accountable and teach people that there is a truth and there are ramifications for intentionally ignoring that truth for your own economic benefit.
But where do you do that in the educational system? She's asking specifically, where do you do it? In high school?
I think it's history.
College?
I think there are a lot of very interesting lessons about dark points in history, about people who have weaponized the truth using the media, and that, and also to link the truth around truth that is evidence-based, peer review. We have, I mean, I work with 190 faculty, and 99% of the research they put out has what I'd call no commercial relevance, because we've decided in a modern society, the pursuit of truth that is evidence-based, double-blind, peer-reviewed is the base from which we build a society. And we need to inculcate our youngest people in that once we get to a truth, once 62 judges have rejected any allegations of election interference, that is our truth, Senators Cruz and Hawley. That is
our
truth.
Their whole argument is they didn't get to hear the evidence because they didn't have standing. They kept pushing on that, just so you know. Just I listen to a lot of their craziness. So here's the problem, I think, is that we don't that Bannon got pardoned, that Brad Parscale is still out there. They know they have been able to manipulate this stuff, and now I think they're off getting new versions of that. And that's what I'm worried about. And who do they affiliate with? You know, I think they've used Trump up like an old paper bag, essentially, and they're going to toss him. And well, they'll use him until they need to, and they'll prey on his many, many weaknesses, including narcissism and et cetera. But they are going to figure out new ways to misinform. And that's where I want to be sort of ahead of the game here is, what are they up to now? What are they moving in on now? What are the abuses they're going to take, the tools they're going to take advantage of, and the abuses they're going to perpetrate doing that? And that, I think they stay ahead of us so quickly in terms of us trying to teach people civics or ethics in school. But you're right. These companies are where this starts. These companies have to not tolerate this happening again and again and again. And they do. They tolerate it. And they're doing it maybe out of some laudable idea around first free speech, but it's really not. You know, the Peter Thiels are in charge here, not the
I'm more hopeful than that. The algorithms of amplification are weapons. And we have mostly dealt with how to regulate and punish people who abuse weapons. And over the medium and long term, we have to have an appreciation for education and history and science and truth. In the short term, absolutely, absolutely. The thing that would have the most impact, impact is a big tech executive does a perp walk.
You keep wanting a tech. This is never, I know you, this is your dream fever sequence, but they're never going to take
if Aunt Becky, we have put people in prison for so much less.
Aunt Becky, she's out now.
If we put Aunt Becky in prison for sending $50,000 to a tennis coach, we should arrest somebody who has knowingly aggravated, inflamed, and used their infrastructure for the coordination of sedition. And that has happened across these platforms knowingly. Somebody needs to do a perp walk. And it was outrageous when I said these companies were going to be broken up 3 years ago. It was outrageous when I said Sheryl Sandberg was the next coming of Christ. You watch. It may not happen.
She's supposedly reaching out to Democratic people, just FYI.
Yay.
That's what I heard. I just want you to be prepared for her reentry into the political scene.
It may happen on European soil. It may not be the individual, the most famous individual. The most effective thing we could do in the short term across any of this comes down to one word: accountability. The only way we unify is we need to unify around a set of values, and these values have been torn apart, and there needs to be accountability.
I just think they throw someone to the line. Like I don't feel badly about the parlor guy, but I think he's a scapegoat.
He's a heat shield.
Yeah, I think I gave him a heat shield by doing that. Anyway, Scott, one more quick break. We'll be back for predictions. Thank you, Kristen from Sacramento.
Hey everyone, this is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Okay, Scott, it's the end of an era. We start a new one. Besides your perp walk situation, give us a hopeful prediction. You can give us a non-hopeful one.
Well, I am hopeful, Kara, and I think that there's enormous opportunity that once we enlist, the reason we won World War II, people like to think, and our young men and women demonstrated exceptional bravery and creativity, but quite frankly, we overwhelmed them with gasoline
Might.
And production and just brute
Might.
Force. And the engine of capitalism, young people are embracing socialism, they're wrong to do that. The friction and prosperity of capitalism, the full body contact friction, and also the recognition there will be winners and losers creates a level of prosperity that we then, through empathy and redistribution of income and social programs such that seniors don't starve, such that people are not food insecure, creates more prosperity, more mobility, and wash, rinse, and repeat. Capitalism works. And when we finally have the opportunity to put a full-throated capitalist response to this virus, if we just get to, if we get to 100 million vaccinations, which is approximately a third of the population, if it's targeted at our most vulnerable and the people who have the most contact with other people as a function of their profession, we could probably take fatalities down 80%. And I don't want to say that as a means of providing cold comfort that this war is over, but I would argue that the war has begun. We have a fantastic weapon. We have been given a P-51 Mustang. I don't want to say we've learned how to split the atom because that sounds a little macabre, but we have been given a fantastic gift. I think the Trump administration deserves some credit for that. I think you have to give the science, the pharmaceutical companies, the CDC, and to a certain extent, the Trump administration. But we have a fantastic weapon, and now when we put a full-throated capitalist response behind it, the greatest engine of productivity and prosperity in history behind it, I think in 90 days, 120 days, we could see a dramatic crush.
100 million in the arms, that's what they say.
Right. And the key is that it's in the right 100 million arms.
You know what? I want Jeff Bezos to show up at my house and give me my vaccine.
Well, they're so well positioned to do it. They're HIPAA compliant.
No, I want him.
You want him?
I want him in particular to come to my house.
I think he's sticking himself every week with something called testosterone. Jesus, have you seen how jacked that guy is? My God.
Yes, said the man who jacks himself.
That's right. Hello, ladies. Gun shows in town.
Oh, no. He's
gun
showing
shows
me his
in town.
It's really disappointing many levels.
That's right.
I'm going to do a thing. Speaking of working out, Peloton will be in the White House. You do said silly story in the Times. I love the New York Times. That story was silly. He has one. And they were going on about the digital problems with it because it's a connected device. Mm-hmm. But Peloton has been in the White House, according to my sources. And I think it was Michelle Obama had one. I think Michelle Obama had one, and they can unconnect it and then just put a computer full of all the classes right there. So and bring a new bunch of classes in every couple of weeks, I guess. It's very easy to bring a Peloton. It was such a ridiculous, oh my God. But I'm glad, frankly, he's working out. We have a president who
actually
works out.
Actually, I heard Melania had one and she hung her Christian Louboutins on them.
Okay, that is...
Come on, you love that.
She was, that outfit change of hers, I was like, I really can't stand you, lady, but well played. She put on the Gucci. She was wearing all black. She went from, Amanda said, Black Widow to Gucci Palm Beach lady in 14 seconds.
Let me
Did
ask
you, see
you
that
I'm
picture?
Just curious to your take.
That outfit was seriously, I was black, all black. She looked great, even though kind
She's
of
a beautiful
in
woman.
That kind of cheap way what, that she has. And then
I
she put on the Gucci,
something.
But it's not cheap, the expensive cheap
Give me
way.
A sense.
But, yeah.
Two, four right. years out, what is Melania's legacy? Yeah.
Nothing. She's just a nothing.
Just zero?
I'm sorry. Zero. She's a selfish, rich lady. I don't know what else to say. I hope her kid turns out well, I guess. I think she seems like a very good mother. But her values are just, even just reading that Stephanie Wilkos, just the tapes, she's just a type.
Yeah.
If you're around really rich people, that's what a lot of those ladies are like. That I have been around a lot of those ladies. And she's just like them all.
I think that's biased. I think that's a cartoon of rich people. I think a lot of rich people got rich because they're good people.
I get it, but not her.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with
there's
that.
There's a class of Florida lady that you have met, and she is the top level of that.
Right. We're talking about Ivanka, right? Oh, wait, no, Melania. Melania, sorry.
I know, Ivanka. That'll be the interesting one. We'll see how she does legally. Whatever.
I got to admit it. I would enjoy that. I'm thinking of writing her a check just as a point of light to push her into the race. I would enjoy that.
Melania's, I totally, she's garden variety, rich lady, you know, that kind of lady, bought rich lady. Mm-hmm. Ivanka, I don't even begin to understand and unpack that.
Try something new. That was her advice to people struggling. Try something new.
I'd like to see her real personality. Let me see what you're actually, she's mean. She seems mean to me underneath. And I don't know. I just would like to see the real Ivanka.
Yeah.
Ivanka. She reminds me of a couple people I covered in Silicon Valley.
Can you get her on? Ever come on Sway? Would she ever come on Pivot? You know, Jared is in my class. I wouldn't call us friends, but we're friendly. I wonder when he...
Difficult person to interview. Let me get your advice and then we'll go. There's a couple people like a Josh Hawley who I was thinking of interviewing for his book about tech and stuff like that. I don't know whether I really want to have them on because the constant lies that you just sit there. So, you know, Bill Mayer had Kelly and Conway on. You know, someone pointed out, and this is correct, is he blocked 25% of her lies, but then the other 75% got through.
Bill and her have been friends for decades.
Okay, fine. But nonetheless, whatever. If you have any of those people on, I'm not going to be able to block every stupid lie. Like in the case of the Parler executive, no one knew what he was thinking. And so I got but we know what Josh Hawley thinks. He's also seditious as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, I'm just using his as an example. It's like, I don't like her in Ivanka or any of those people, which I'm not interested right now, but you spend your whole time blocking lies and you can't block them all. You know what I mean? It's like slap shot, lie. And so I don't think that's helpful. And if I do well and get like 60% of them, everyone compliments me for blocking lies. And I don't think that's a very big talent. I think it's just what it is. What do you think?
So I think with Kellyanne Conway, we should just stop giving her oxygen. I saw this TikTok of these screeds she goes on against her daughter. And I thought, A, that's an invasion of privacy. And B, I'm just... Let's just stop giving her oxygen. I think you are a reasonably good interviewer. And so, look, I think a journalist such as yourself, who's informed and not afraid to push back on a senator who's trying to position himself as a presidential candidate and also sees himself as someone who's thoughtful about tech, I think that can be productive. And I think there's a difference between giving oxygen to Kellyanne Conway and to Senator Josh Hawley, because he is elected by the people. He is a viable candidate for president. And he's, in my opinion, guilty of sedition. And I think you will have the ability and you have the backbone and, quite frankly, the balls to say, a lot of people would argue that you understand these cases were sent down. Aren't you guilty of sedition? Your turn. I think
All right.
You're a legitimate journalist.
There's a lot of people like that. And I'm like, but sometimes like journalists love to get in these slap mess, and then they go, "Ooh, what a winner." And I'm like, nothing's been won there. Nothing's been illuminated. You're just slapping down lies. And so I don't, and they get kudos for it. Like, "Oh, good job slapping down Trump's lies." I'm like, why? Why? We knew he was a liar. Like, why is that? Anyway,
but Kara, just one last thing. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Says Amanda Gorman. Oh, my God.
I'm going to talk. You know who I want to talk to? Amanda Gorman. I want to talk to Amanda Gorman. I want to talk to people like that. Anyway, Scott, as usual, this was fascinating because we are so fascinating.
And why are we so fascinating, Kara? Because because being American is more than a pride we inherit, Kara. It's more than a pride we inherit. Oh, my God, gangster. I love this young
woman. But we're not, let me just say, even though MSNBC and Fox have problems, we don't, because there's always trouble in business, Phil. So we are always there to give you insight.
What happens to us when Trump is gone? Have we contemplated that?
No, we don't talk about it. We talk about a lot of things. Oh, we've got lots of places to go, my friend.
The places we shall go.
There's always a WeWork around
the
corner. My green
eggs and hams lover.
There is always a WeWork around the corner.
That's right.
Okay, that's the show. Go to nymag.com/pivot to submit your question for the podcast. The link is also in our show notes. Scott, read us out.
Today's show was produced by Rebecca Sinanis. Our show was engineered by Ernie Indratot. Thanks also to Hannah Rosen and Drew Burrows. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, or if you're an Android listener, check us out on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Pivot from New York Magazine and Vox Media. We'll be back next week for a breakdown of all things tech. A nation not broken, but unfinished, Kara.